What's up? What's up? It's This Week in Moments here with the times and the beats and the rhymes and the news and the views. Hey, hey, hey. See,
That was all freestyle, ladies and gentlemen.
I get to lead off.
He's just coming up with it off the top of his head like that.
I sure did, Governor. I sure did. Let me tell
put
you.
Another shrimp on the barbie, Cockney, aye. Anytime I do an accent, I'm so paranoid of slipping into a Mexican / Italian that I go completely the other direction.
And we've talked about accent racism before on the show.
Yeah,
so
no, that is a real thing.
That is
with
well,
doctors
that is well
and
trodden
medicine
ground. Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Alan.
How are you? How are you?
Or rather, should I say NPR, Alan?
I feel like that's fair. You could NPR Alan me.
Or
I was on
now,
NPR. Did you know that?
I
that
heard
should
it.
Go on my business card, maybe.
It was there on NPR. Also, you were featured in Deseret News, but I feel like nobody saw it.
No, well, that was the Associated Press article that I did.
Oh, that's why they just republished it. Okay.
So it just got, yeah.
Because if it was pure Deseret News, I was going to be a little disappointed that for a Mormon audience, you didn't slip in a This Week in Mormons reference. That's the audience to do it in, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I would have been like, first, quilting, second, This Week in Mormons.
Even if it's third, it's okay. It would just be a little thing like
third, Jesus, fourth family.
I also like that.
Exactly.
I also liked that article because it described you as a laid off, like, coder.
You know, this is what's interesting about PR stuff. I've developed three stories that I tell. One is about the family, one is about the business, the entrepreneurship thing, and the fourth is about the town. And every reporter sort of picks up on a different angle, and I just sort of plug that side of the story. It's interesting once we've sort of developed those, how predictably things sort of fall into one of those silos. Very fun. Very interesting.
It happens to me every day. Every day.
Every day. Did you? I had four more interviews today, Jeff. How many did you have?
When I tell the story of Jeff, it covers different different epics, shall we say.
it's a dynasties or eras, really. Some call them dispensations.
The mission years, the 2 years.
Call it the mission dispensation.
The BYU dispensation.
The single dispensation.
The lost California married years. And then the DC reawakening.
Yeah, well, you had Jill that you had to recover from, and then you went on to so many DC options. I mean, for the audience, Jeff once claimed to be a recipient of a PhD of making out, and that every woman was just part of his thesis paper.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. that's an actual quote.
Well, it doesn't matter now because I got locked down, so it doesn't matter.
It apparently worked because you have a lovely wife and you'll be a father in like a month.
Yeah, so. talk about terrifying. Oh man,
are you terrified or is it just like, yep, pregnant wife?
I don't feel like I'm ready. I don't think I'd ever feel ready. But like last week,
I don't feel like you've studied for this even.
I don't. I haven't studied really much of anything. I learned things from my wife. Am I supposed to be reading books or what? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel
children
were born on the frontier and nobody had any books and they turned out fine.
Someone was telling me, one of the gals that works for me is pregnant. She's like, oh yeah, well, if I sit with a hot plate of food on my belly, the kid will kick it off. And I was like, what kid? She's like, my baby. I was like, I'm sorry, the child inside of your stomach is kicking your food off? That is absurd.
Yeah, they're feisty little guys. Our son likes to, he's responsive. That's what you notice. If you press on my wife's belly and stuff, you'll feel a little punch back. He'll be like, what you doing getting in my space? Like, kick back. He always does it, too. It's pretty funny.
I'd push very firmly just to contain him and be like, I am the boss.
I've tried to push so hard.
I am the captain now.
I've tried to push so hard that it's as if there was like shrink wrap around his body, you know?
Yeah.
But
he's like, whoa.
But it turns out my wife really doesn't like that level of pressure.
You'll want to ask him about that later on in life and just be like, do you remember when you were in the womb and I was pushing on you from all sides?
Dude, it's so weird.
Was that scary?
They open their eyes. I mean, they can't. There's enough. I mean, cause, you know, they're in a dark place for the most part, but they can discern whether it's light or dark outside just from, you know.
No.
Well, because it filters through, but you can tell. They can tell. This is what
do you mean it filters through, Jeff? If I'm standing behind you, there's no light that filters through your body.
That's because I have layers and layers of fat to block. And everyone knows that fat absorbs light like a black cloud. Just takes it all in.
I'm sorry. Huge belly?
Well, think about it, though. The belly is a membrane of skin, and that's it between that and where the baby is. So it's not like it's like a light shining inside, but it can discern whether it is actually lighter or darker outside, which helps.
I call BS. I don't think that's a real
science.
Thing.
Science has said this. Science told me.
Jeff, how do you get inside of that baby's mind to know
but
this?
The weird thing is they open their eyes. Like, why? There's nothing to see, but they do it. Hey, you know what's missing from my day? Having amniotic fluid flushing out my eye sockets. That sounds like the dream. So I'm going to open them and see what's going on. Oh, look, it's kind of murky, but I see a little bit of things. It must be daylight.
I'm discerning belly light happening.
I don't know.
I feel like you should do some sort of a shadow puppet maneuvering start writing in Sharpie messages. And let this baby discern that and be like, I don't know what's going on, but I can make out the letter L.
I won't even need Sharpies. I'll just start, you know, spelling out letters on the belly and seeing if he can pick it up.
Like when you're at church and you're scratching your missionary companion's back.
Exactly. And you spell out, I love you.
You're like, did you guess what I wrote?
He says, then he says, wait a minute, was that an L or did you draw a heart? And you're like, it was a heart, Elder. It was a heart. Wanted to do I heart you. That's what happened.
Guilty.
So anyway, yeah, I'm going to, for better or worse, I will have sired a youth. And
the mere fact that you call it that tells me you're not ready.
I will be pop in the attic. And that's where I'm going to be hiding as I try not to ruin this kid's life. It's going to be awesome. But anyway, other than that, how are you doing? I know you were traveling.
Was Memorial Day good?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you if you got to memorialize. My Memorial Day was pretty solid. We drove down early on Saturday with some friends to a Virginia beach. I had never been there. I've always heard it's kind of a backwater, so I was expecting something rather Myrtle-esque, right? But
oh my gosh, Piggly Wiggly bags and coolers with duct tape.
But it felt a little more low key than Myrtle. Myrtle is Myrtle, but Myrtle's pretty busy. I mean, it's a big
area.
How many
more keys low can you go below Myrtle?
You can go very low. Remember when we went up to North Carolina and found some chill little beaches that were just hanging out? No, nothing was there.
Okay.
Very chill. So Virginia Beach was nice. It was good times. We hung out there for the afternoon. I climbed a lighthouse. And it was
like
good.
A lighthouse.
And then we stayed the night in the area, and then we spent the afternoon the next day up in Richmond. We went to church too before that, and then we went to hung out and saw some stuff in Richmond, came home. So it was a quick little turnaround, but it was a nice trip. And then I got sick by that night, so I spent most of Memorial Day just sitting around watching New Girl with my wife and just going.
I'm sorry, you're wounded?
I'm what?
You are wounded now?
I'm doing okay now. I'm on the out. But on Monday, I pretty much sat around with a box of Kleenex the whole day. My voice is still a little stretched, but not that bad. All in all, pretty good times. You know, good times all around.
In the end, we were okay.
How about you? Were you able to memorialize or anything? I mean, you were in transit for half the weekend, but did you?
Yeah, no. So I finished up Paris on Saturday, which was lovely. Ate some delicious food.
Did you go to the Orsay?
To where?
The museum that's in a train station. I told you about it last week.
I went to the Monet Museum.
Was it exclusively Monet, or he happened to be one of the featured impressionists in the Impressionist Museum?
No, it was exclusively Monet. It was the Monet Musée. Very clever wordplay in French. But I went there at 5:45. They closed at 6. They did not let me in. I I had walked an hour and a half in a very romantic walkabout through the streets alone to arrive there within plenty of time to see a museum as far as I was concerned, and they would not have it.
No dice, huh?
Despite my my protests, I was very adamant that I could see everything they had in 15 minutes, and he disagreed. And so then I flew home on Sunday, and then Monday was actually great because, like, you fly home Sunday, tried to stay up. I'm battling jet lag, and I fall asleep, wake up Monday, and then I just had a nice, easy day. I had a little bit of work to do, just like fixing stuff up, but that's stuff I like. I went to my sister's, and we barbecued, and we opened up the pond. It was our first day of swimming for the year in the pond.
So you,
which I'm a huge fan of. We got a little canoe we dragged down there. I put like 9 kids in there, push it out there, then go sink it. They all scream. It makes me very happy. this is my game. This is what I do. I'm the uncle that
I like having the day to relax on long weekends. Like, it's easy to take the whole time and max out party time, but sometimes it's nice instead to party for a couple days, then take the day off and just chill that day.
I feel like you're justifying your own lazy new girl.
I was sick. I didn't want to do anything else. You nuts? I was in a bad place. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh. I would do the X-Files marathon, but I'm terrified of seeing that one episode where it was like the woman with no legs that they like hit under the bed. It still terrifies me.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Episode of all of television.
I will tell you this. New Girl, decidedly some adult material, but far sharper than I thought it would be. It's been highly amusing.
Far sharper.
I said, where did this show come from? This show is very funny.
Sister Deschanel. Well done.
Oh, Zoe. Zoe and I had a thing for years.
I bet you did.
Then she married Ben. And then she divorced Ben, but it didn't matter by that point.
Wait, Ben Affleck?
No, Ben Gibbard.
Who's Ben Gibbard?
He's the singer in Death Cab for Cutie.
Did they do She and Him together?
Does She and Him with M. Ward, who's a different guy.
Boy, that's got to be like salt in the wound for that other guy who's also a singer.
Yeah, and he's like, what, you don't want to do my music?
He's like, what's a Death Cab for Cutie song, Jeff? Go.
Plans. What Sarah said. Why am I naming everything off like the album Plans?
That sounds like a Postal Service song.
Grapevine Fires.
You can't
Doors
dance to
Unlocked
any of this.
And Open.
No, stop it.
Transatlanticism. Anyway. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Anywho, so we got some church things going on this week.
Well,
did you know this?
Every now and then, the church gives us things to discuss. I would like to lead off this week with the wackiest and could have been the least fortunate news, but it turned out sort of okay.
Please be BYU Idaho not
nope,
giving their
students. We'll get
enough
there.
Insurance.
No, but today on Wednesday, the 27th, a woman in Salt Lake City went up to the observation deck on the 26th floor of the church office building in Salt Lake City and threatened to jump off. She somehow climbed up over the plexiglass barriers they have, which are supposed to prohibit that kind of thing, or at least impede that sort of thing, and went around.
They did. They impeded it and did not prohibit.
And threatened she said she was going to jump, but they got up there. They actually handcuffed her to a railing when she wasn't looking, or I don't know what. That way, in the event she did jump, she would just dangle.
I feel like this, again, we risk making light of a very serious situation. Do not commit suicide, people. But this would be the one job that like an amateur magician would dream of. He has to handcuff a woman without her knowing it.
That's what you're getting.
All right. All right, Job. I need you to come in here and do your thing. He says, okay. You have to handcuff somebody without them knowing? That's such an odd way of preventing suicide. I feel like there's a lot of talking that go on. I mean, smart in the end, because that would be, I mean, then you're just a frustrated.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of talking. And then when she's, you know, when the individual's not expect.
Is it like, right, let's shake on it. And then boom. So,
one of those deals. And you say, ha ha. Now we're stuck together. I don't know, but I'm glad they did. But either way, it didn't go to that. But they got her off the ledge. They got her down. She's seeking psychological counseling or whatever. And We don't know more beyond that. We don't know her name or what the deal was. She didn't say anything else. She didn't say what her grievance was or anything along those lines.
This reminds me of when they base jumped off the church office building.
I forgot about that. That was years ago.
We never got any information on it. Mum was the word.
Well, that's the dream of being a base jumper, is there shouldn't be any information. You base jump and you get the heck out of there. Then nobody knows. If you ever want to see something great, base jumping on One World Trade Center before they finished it, guys would break in there and climb up to the top of it and base jump. Fascinating YouTube videos. I don't condone the behavior, but
do not climb up unused World Trade Center buildings and base jump.
But seeing people dive down into Lower Manhattan at like 3 a.m. when there are no cars and just land on the street and then just quickly gather their stuff and hide behind a bench is pretty awesome. It looks cool. But back to the more serious matter, don't jump off buildings. Or attempt to jump off buildings, or threaten to jump off buildings.
Always leave a note.
Yeah, and also they don't know if she was a visitor or an employee. So I don't know. Hope maybe some details will come to light at some point. But if not, then we respect their privacy and hope that everything will be okay in the end.
Yeah, I feel like we're compensating because there's a big part of me, and this is what makes me sort of a terrible person.
One of many things.
Is I see some funny elements in this story, and I want to joke about them, but I don't feel like that's okay to do.
No, Al, okay, whisper it in my ear. What do you want to joke about?
No, we pretty much did it, but we have to end it with, like, don't do this, kids, is a bad idea. But I like the visual of an amateur magician handcuffing, like him waiting for that call for the cops and being like, this is my time. And then he brings, like, the breakaway handcuffs or something, like the wrong kind, and it doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the tools that he needs, and he has to go back. I just feel like there should be a YouTube skit about
that. That's fair. This, we can leave it that note, then. That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
The bigger story, I would have to say, is BYU Idaho has a healthcare plan that is for naught. So, essentially, the healthcare plan is not enough coverage under the Affordable Care Act. And so all the students that have paid their money to the school, because the school requires you to have health insurance. You cannot go to school there without their health insurance. They require you to buy it.
You don't have to have theirs. I believe you could have it through your parents if you had it that way instead. You could, but you have to have some kind of insurance.
Sign the waiver, but you have to have a health insurance in order to go to school there.
Isn't that funny? So, you have to have insurance to go to school, but everyone was so up in arms about their government requiring
you can't graduate if you have an unpaid health insurance bill.
That's true. That's a good point.
And so you've got this health insurance debacle, this little ring going on, and then they find out, hey, everybody that got your insurance through us, we are below the minimum acceptable coverage. You have to go and get gap coverage in addition to what we've already extorted out of you to go and cover this. Well done, BYU Idaho. Way to save some money, you budget-cutting fools.
I know. The beauty of it is it's not like BYU is stepping up and saying, well, what we're going to do is, you know, amend the coverage and make sure everyone's in the clear.
No, they say, hey, you 18-year-olds from the Philippines, good luck figuring this one out, hotshots.
Yeah, basically.
Because when you're that age, you don't even want insurance. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're 20. You don't believe that. I mean, I literally went from there. As soon as I got out of college, I decided I did not want health insurance. I didn't need it.
How did that work out for you?
I was no health insurance until I was
in summer of 2010.
Yeah, it was great until I was like 26.
Yeah.
And then I obviously broke my arm, had tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills, and was an awful period. But in the meantime, I was convinced I did not need it. And frankly, I didn't until I broke my arm. You don't need insurance until you need it. That's the thing.
That's the whole point of insurance.
So these 20-year-olds that don't feel they need it, they wish that they didn't have to have it. They'd like to sign the waiver to get out of it. They have to have it. And now that they've got it, now they have to have more or they'll be penalized on their incomes or on their tax.
So what do you think the solution is here then? Do you think, I mean, are you frustrated with Affordable Care Act? Do you think BYU just needs to suck it up and give them whatever?
No, I think BYU Idaho should be at fault here and should step up and say, hey, we'll cover the gap coverage because the stuff that we made you buy in order to go to school here, it should be up to the minimum standards. That's the idea of the Affordable Care Act. It's when you buy insurance, that that you're getting enough insurance and that everything's covered. I'm not under any sort of guise that the Affordable Care Act is solving major problems. I mean, I don't love it because I'm an employer. But even as an employer, I still have to reach that minimum product, right? I can't just say, sorry, everybody, we're giving you crap coverage. Now you got to go get gap coverage.
Yeah. And of course, the irony of the Affordable Care Act, though, is that the mandates only apply to individuals. Like once you're dealing with dependents or spouses, nothing is covered there, which is kind of funny because you can just do them. So if you ever notice, you'll see your employer might offer you a decent deal for what you have to pay in for your own plan. But then once you have to bring in your family stuff, employer's like, well, nothing's mandated here. Enjoy spending $900 a month on health insurance. But America, folks, to our other English-speaking listeners in Great Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, I know you're all rolling your eyes at the crazy problems we have in this country. But you know what? We have freedom and nuclear weapons. So
ever heard of it? Yeah.
Both those things. Yeah, I think they should just step it up. And this story, we noticed this a little bit later, closer to recording, so I haven't done any research on what is lacking. If any legal experts, anybody listening, has any ideas on that one, I'd be curious about the main details of just, you know, what would BYU have to add to their coverage to comply with ACA. I would like to see that. It better not
it's a bridge. It's an insurance.
Is it contraception?
Bridge.
Is there a requirement in ACA for contraception coverage? Do you think that's what it is?
How great would that be? I would, if I was going to BYU at Idaho, I would go and get contraception, even though I didn't need it, just to have the awkward looks.
I'm trying to remember because I think, or does BYU's insurance cover contraception? But we know that church employee insurance does not cover contraceptions. We've known that.
They don't want it. They don't believe it.
Which I've always found very interesting because we don't have a hard and fast anti-contraception stance in the church. We have a figure it out within the confines of your marriage stance. So
yeah, we say, hey, more power to
you. I would venture
a
guess that the majority of married couples in the church have employed the use of contraceptives.
Wait, say that again?
I think most people have used contraceptives, right? When they've...
Like, just in general. You're just saying people.
Mormon people. I would think the majority of Mormon people have used pregnancy prevention.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of, like, we got married and then we're pregnant
now. There's still many who don't, and that's fine, too. Whatever works for them. But I would think the majority probably do. That's just my guess based off just anecdotal...
Let's call this the Duggar conundrum.
Is that really what you want to bring up with all your time? And you want to go visit the Duggars this week during when there's an abuse scandal surrounding them? That's where you want to
go. What is it? What's going on?
Oh boy, we'll talk offline about it. This is vintage Al, everybody. Al just wants to get a pun on the Duggars and their many children, forgetting that in the moment he says it, there's a big abuse scandal brewing around the family.
What is the abuse scandal? What happened? Who hit who?
I think it's with Josh.
I don't know the names of these people. You got to describe them.
Josh.
Big eyebrows.
Josh Duggar is one of their youths who's married.
Okay.
And there have been allegations that he was involved with a number of minors. I would rather not take the show down this road.
All right.
But that's what
it's an additional Duggar conundrum then. I see.
Yeah. Vintage Doan right there, folks. That's what.
Here I am. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry. So,
I depend on Jeff Holy for my
though,
news.
Speaking of something Duggar-esque, here's a story that I'm not actually sure is directly LDS, but we're just going to say it is. So, Led...
Are they from Kaysville? LDS.
Led... No, it's the Herald Whig. I don't even know what this... Where's this paper from? I don't even know. If I contact them, where are they from? They're in Illinois. Quincy, Illinois. Well, there you go. Quincy, Illinois. So, Led and Ruth Zanger recently celebrated the birth of Zaxton. The names alone seem very Mormon to me, but very Utah. Zaxton Zanger, their 46th great-grandchild. They have 53 grandchildren and one great-great-grandchild, bringing the grand total of people with grandchild at some portion of their title up to 100.
No, that doesn't count. You either have a 100 actual grandchildren or 100 great grandchildren. You don't get to combine those.
Yeah, because 53 grandchildren is still nothing to shirk at. I mean, that's strong. Nothing to stick at. Whatever. But that's a very strong number. Of interesting note, they have 53 grandchildren. And out of those 53 grandchildren, thus far have only produced 46 children of their own. 53 grandchildren. I would expect that number to be higher. Why are there not more great-grandchildren than grandchildren at this point?
Oh, that's a good question.
They do not have joy. They do not seek to repopulate
the plot. The plot thickens, yes?
They've been married for 59 years and had 12 children of their own.
That, you're averaging at that point like 1.8 babies a year.
12 children born between 1956 and 1984. Their oldest kid's 58. Their youngest son is 31.
Boy, that is a long span of pregnancy. You got to pack that in there. Give yourself a solid 8 years and then get out. No more pregnancy.
That's just like always being pregnant. That woman has not fasted for like 30 years.
It's a way to get around fasting. I mean, listen, extreme times.
She will have pizza on Sunday. It is hers.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. That is what we got to do.
She's been either fasting or nursing and is therefore pregnant or nursing. And it's exempt. So good job, Zangers and Jackson and Michaela and Mikhail and Mahanrai.
100% Mormon.
Yeah.
Maury Ankomer. Let's see. Elder Rasband went to Kuwait this week.
I like Elder Rasband.
Why do you like Elder
Rasband? Just a good talk. Good guy.
Pleasant fellow.
Yeah.
He went and met with troops. They met in a just sort of one of the interfaith chapels in the little district of members over there.
It's actually a ward. They have a ward out there.
Which would be a weird place to have a ward, I'd feel like, but I'd be very happy to be in Kuwait and have a nice church.
Well, there's a Persian Gulf stake, you know. There's a stake.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But Elder Rasband came and said, "You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. We love you and are grateful for your service." And he hopes that they will be at peace. How great would that be to get a 70 that came to you in Kuwait?
Now,
that would
be memorable. Bear in mind, he was basically visiting a military installation, Camp Arif Khan.
I think he paid $1,000 to shoot a grenade launcher, and this was just sort of part of that trip.
We've had a cozy relationship with Kuwait ever since the first Gulf War, the good one. And
I wonder if the Elders Quorum, or not the Elders Quorum, the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, if they ever do like team building activities where like they go and play paintball or, you know, they go and like get to shoot a tank for a Saturday and talk about how that lifts one another and you all have to be together as a team.
Here's the question. Within this concept, I would like to rank all of the brethren based on likely approbation of said activity.
Which one? Paintball?
Yeah. Which ones would be the most down with it, going down to the ones who would vehemently disapprove of this frivolous, unbecoming sport?
No, now here's the dark horse for you. I think Quinton L. Cook is the surprising diplomat / assassin.
Yes.
I see him sneak it. No, the paintball grenade is in his back pocket, yes. And he's coming in for a quick meeting.
And he will say, "Where's your quandary now?"
Russell M. Nelson gone in the first 5 minutes, but still smiling.
Well, but he can fix everyone who's wounded. So
also, Dallin A. Chokes would be the guy that's in complete camo for like 8 hours, just sniping. No one can see him. Don't know what happened to him, and he's sniping everybody.
I feel like Elder Oaks would be one of the ones leading the charge to not do it.
No, for sure he'd be there.
I think he's one of the ones who would think that is beneath the dignity of the office.
I remember
he spoke to us in the MTC, and by the way, I agree with this story, so it's fine. But
is this the bunny ears story?
This is the bunny. I probably told this before. It's the bunny ears story when he was meeting some missionaries somewhere, and one of them's like, "Hey, great," taking pictures. And he's like, "Can I do bunny ears, Elder Oaks?" And he was just like, "No, I'm an apostle. No, you can't do bunny ears. Respect the title." And that was the end of it. So for that reason, I don't feel that he would be on board with the paintball necessarily.
Also, I could see Elder Eyring doing sort of an old, you know, No Country for Old Men move.
What, walking around with a cattle gun and just like popping everybody?
I feel like that could happen. Anyway, we don't need to dwell on this.
I think we just riff on this for the next 20 minutes and call it a show.
I'm down.
I'd be fine with that. So, let's see here. A lot of the stuff we have this week are some brief mentions, but here's another one. Bigger story, because I'm actually surprised this remains an issue. So, you might remember last year, we talked about how the group Mormons Building Bridges, which consists of active members of the church, not even necessarily gay active members, just active members of the church advocating for the LGBT population, striving to build bridges between the communities. That group has been attempting to have a part in the Days of 47 parade in Salt Lake City, which they do every year on Pioneer Day. You know, big day goes around, everyone celebrates Utah existing. And so now the kicker here is the rules for the parade forbid advocacy of any kind. That's what they say, advocacy. And that's why they barred them last year. So they are also barring them once again this year. They've tried again, but they have been denied for the second year in a row to participate in the parade.
It's weird because advocacy could be derived out of anything.
Advocacy, right? Could be President Monson being in the parade showing advocacy for the
church. Who are these firefighters marching advocating fire safety?
It's a fair point. No, I mean, on paper, it is a fair point. Yeah. Where do we draw the line on what defines advocacy?
Take this to the ACLU.
The thing that saddens me, though, is I see a lot of people who don't fully understand this parade, and they'll say, like, well, why isn't the church doing something about this? I mean, yeah, the church, we know the church might be able to throw its weight around in Utah politics, which we've discussed before, but the church doesn't put on the Days of 47 parade. This is not a church production.
This is just a town, right?
This is a civic activity. I mean,
where's Days of 47? Canary? Canaryville?
I'm sorry?
Is it in Santa Cruz?
It's in Salt Lake City, Al.
Hello. Salt Lake City won't let them march in the parade? That seems weird.
Right. Oh, well, is that true? I mean, so I don't know. But I don't see a problem with them marching in the parade. I think the advocacy excuse is interesting. Because like you said, anything could be advocacy. I don't know what all.
Absolutely.
I don't know what all is typically in the parade, as I don't live in Utah. And I don't identify much with Pioneer Day either, but I know Utahns just live for it. It's just the dream, probably because it's a random extra day off in the state. And I never lived in a state that had like a special. In California, we didn't have some special state holiday off that like Utahns got off. There was no random California holiday where I didn't have to go to school that day. Did not exist.
Yes, you did. It was called Friday.
I know that Rebecca Black told me that I got to get down on Friday and everybody's ready for the weekend, but.
All right.
But no.
Whatever.
No. So anyway, Al, do you think they should be able to march in the parade? Do you feel they are being denied just a simple request? Why should they not be able to march in?
I would just start marching. I would start marching and
go Kate Kelly style on this, huh? Just do it?
Yeah. No, just show up. Show up and then have them very gently turn you away from walking down the street. As one, Jeff.
They'll ticket them for jaywalking.
Remember when we stumbled into our own Mexican Christmas parade?
I will
parade
never forget
in
being part of the Christmas parade in Cozumel, Mexico. That was an awesome evening.
And if we, some gringos from North America, could be in that parade, why can't these sweet people advocate tolerance and love?
Folks, I rode on a scooter with fellow countrymen of the village we were in, behind Santa Claus, being cheered on by locals.
We had like 30% certainty that we'd make our boat.
And I was so thankful I spoke Spanish in that instance.
Yeah, you were very good.
It was very,
very good. Let's see. Elder Oaks had a little bit of social media excitement this week. Did you see this? He put out, we actually have an article on our own website about it. But, Elder Oaks gave us a couple of pictures showing us what it's like to be calling missionaries. bigger than that, he called 240 in a day.
Boom shakalaka.
That is a solid clip. I wonder how exactly this goes. Is he like, Aldone, Ukraine, go. Next. He's got a pointer in one screen. He's got sort of a Harry Potter wand like Jeff and I have.
Uh-huh.
And he's gesturing or calling a Patronus of some sort.
Yes.
And he's got the picture on one side. I agree. Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. In our minds, this was on a big projector. This was a big to-do.
Well, this is on. And that's what I'd heard before, that they're like, a lot of them were in a room together, and then all at once, after, like, they're all kind of going about their business, then they'll put one of the names up on a screen for all of them to sort of ratify. That's what I've
heard. It's like a surprise, right? They're walking, a face. Where does it go?
Well, because they get confirmation. Like, one of them who's in charge will say, I feel this impression. And then I've heard they confirm that amongst one another.
No, is that a real thing?
I've heard they try to get a second, yeah, to make sure that the inspiration is correct.
And they all go, oh.
That's what I've heard before. But then we see from...
I feel like that would taint the decision. You know, if I'm there and President Monson is like, I feel like he should go to Texas, I'd be like, I agree with
you're
whatever
like,
he said.
No, Tom. This guy has West Virginia written all over it. And he
look at these eyebrows. This is obviously Hill
and
country.
And that's a fair point. Maybe they don't tell each other for the sake of not trying to skew the results like that.
They write it on a paper, swallow it, and then in the morning, they both look at what they wrote.
Yeah. But in this, we see that Elder Oak sits down on a pair of two monitors with a kind technician from the missionary department who...
Dell monitors. Apparently, we support Dell.
Apparently, we support Dell. Nice high-res 24-inchers.
Those are 27-inchers, Jeff.
You think those are 27?
I got one myself.
They're beauties. Dell monitors are... I'm looking at a Dell monitor right now as I talk to you. Dell. Bringing America together.
Moving the Lord's work.
So anyway,
it's because Michael. Wait, who's the Kevin Rollins?
Michael Dell.
No, Kevin Rollins was the CEO of Dell, that was LDS. Handsome man. Then he left that position or was escorted out. I don't remember which.
Escorted out. Anyway, back to topic. So basically, Elder Oak sits in a room with a member of the missionary department who has to run the computer for him, for whatever reason, And looks at the calls, and you see what slots are available. And Elder Oaks wrote up some stuff and described a lot of it. He did 240. There was 1,047.
I put the motion forth to build the Tinder app for mission calls, where the 12 just, this is what it should be. The 12 are sitting there, and like a person pops up, and you swipe right for Texas or left for Belize, and then they have to match. You have to get like other people to hit the same direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at that moment, then that call is issued. The next big thing in church missionary callings, the Tinder for missionaries.
What I'm curious about here is the clip they have to work at. If you do the math, if he did 240 of them in one day, if this was just...
Let's say he spends
five minutes. If this was an eight-hour work day, say it was just an eight-hour day, that would be... one every 2 minutes.
What?
We'll do the math.
Is that right?
If you did 240 divided by 8, that's 30 per hour. So you have 2 minutes per thing. That's very interesting math. I mean, he probably works longer than that, I would guess. But still, that's not a lot of time per thing. I always picture them sitting there for a good, like, 10 minutes with my picture in front of them, pondering, should I go to Spain?
I feel like you come to a point where you're just like, I get my jam. You sort of know. You get in that zone. I bet you'd be cooking along. I bet you're doing one every 30 seconds.
Well, the beauty of this is he is privy to inspiration that we are not. So
that's not true.
No, it is because of his office.
I believe I
can't receive mission calls for people. Like I cannot do that. That is inspiration I am not able to receive in my office.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
Thank you, Al, High Counselor, who should know church structure better than me.
I should be studying more. I'm really sorry. Tonight I missed a meeting. It was in my calendar wrong, and I tried to verify, and it was a mess.
It's okay.
I feel like a failure.
Everyone still loves you. Another quick mention here. Brandon Flowers, everyone's favorite self-described active Mormon. He just had a little bit on NPR on Morning Edition this week. We put it up on our site, about 7 minutes long. If you want to go go read it.
From one NPR star to another, Brandon.
Exactly. So,
well done, young man. Well done.
Anyway, it's a quick little thing. They talk. He's got a new solo album out, so of course he's promoting that. But he kind of talked a little bit about his experience growing up in Las Vegas, what family means to him now, how he, of course, wasn't really, when the Killers first got famous, he wasn't really into church at the time. He's since gotten back into the church, and he's very openly talks about how active he is in the church and that it means a lot to him and all that stuff.
But I like this new Brandon Flowers. Well, it's not new. It's a couple years in, but I like Brandon
who goes to church. He's better than
I mean, he's just very casual about chatting about his membership in the church. He's open about it. I feel like that does a lot of good.
I remember we talked a couple years ago when he was on like a Swedish talk show or something, and they just blindsided him and started railing on the church and how it was all a crock. And he was vociferous in his defense of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. It was pretty awesome.
He said, bring it on, man. I'll fight you.
Because he was like, you don't... that was a great video because he's just put the guy in his place. Like, you don't know what this is. You don't know the doctrine. You're just working this off some sheet somebody gave you. So check that out. The thing I respect a lot, like you said, Al, he's chill, is that he openly says, you know, it's hard because, like, I'm a rock star or whatever that may be. But, like, there are, like, temptations from a previous life or whatever that still exist. Like, just because I love my wife and my kids, and I do and everything. And he says, like, that's what I worry about more than anything. All I think about are my kids and my wife. But how he says it's still real, like, it's – and I'm assuming he's alluding to, you know, just drinking or drugs or who knows what else. Like, hey, those temptations exist when you're out on the road, but I have to try to choose for myself.
Drugs,
like,
sex, and rock and roll, yeah. Man.
But now he says, like, I have a choice to make. And he does say, and I don't think anyone should advocate this necessarily, but because he's kind of lived on both sides of it, he's developed an appreciation and made that choice. I would never advocate we must sin and fall away in order to fully appreciate the atonement or anything like that, because we don't need to do that. But I'm glad that he's able to bring his insights to the party. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, the people that do that, I mean, we should take resolve in the fact that of either choice, because probably, I mean, there's very few people that probably have the option to live both lives to the extreme level that he does, and the fact that you know, that he chooses to be over here where there are commandments and there are restrictions and there are. You know, a lot of the things that we look at, we say, oh, I mean, if you ever said, boy, if I weren't Mormon, the things I'd do, you know, like, look at Brandon Flowers and just, you know, take comfort in the fact that you're probably in a better spot here in the church than you would be.
I will
away
go
from
farther
it,
and not even say probably. Rocks. I will say you are in a better spot.
I do hereby testify to you.
I will not be tentative.
Let's see, the Festival of Colors, the Hare Krishna?
Yeah, the holy festival thing. Yeah, the one that's in Spanish Fork.
It's going to Ogden. I'm not sure why we're talking about this, but Jeff likes it.
I was on the fence, mostly out of note for Utah people, so they can know.
This is a big deal, man. If you are going to college in Utah, you have to get this picture. Did you do it when you were in college, Jeff?
No.
I did not either, and I feel like I am maybe the only one. But now I know that you also.
I'm with you, bro.
Denied.
I'm with you. Let's cast a spell together. Lonely Illusoromium.
Illusoromio? I like it.
So anyway, because of overflow and demand and all that stuff, they're doing sort of a franchise of the Festival of Colors in Ogden. Also, it's a way of keeping people from
They're going to do it at a Winger's, right?
Yeah. That's the plan. All that free popcorn. It's going to make the dream happen. Oh,
you just go to Wingers and you can have your Festival of Colors.
All you can handle. Oh, my goodness. So good. Another quick mention here for you. Leadership and Clerk Resources, LCR. We've talked about it on the show before, but the church sort of officially acknowledged it finally in an email to interested parties over the weekend that is forthcoming, the replacement for MLS. So we actually had someone on our Facebook page today responded to the posting for this article and said, like, great, I just got set up an MLS, like, this weekend for a new calling. So if that happened to you, I'm sorry, because it's not going to matter in a matter of a month or so. But because what they're going to do is, once they add a functionality to LCR, and LCR is the online-based version of MLS. It's all new, but you can do all organizational stuff that you can only do before on the clerk computer at the church. You can do it from any computer anywhere, which is great, and that's wonderful. So, but as they add stuff to it, if they add a certain, if they say you can start managing your home teaching companionships in LCR, they will disable it completely in MLS at the same time. There will be no overlap. So, yeah.
Whoa.
So be ready to be engaged. And as far as I know, I haven't seen anything about any trainings or anything like that. You just kind of figure it out.
No need. Just roll it out in a sweeping
update. Am super excited for it, though, and I can't wait until it shows up. Cannot wait. I'm lucky that I don't live that far away from my church building. But even so, like, it, you know, it's have to take time out of your evening, drive over to the church building on some weeknight, hop on the computer, fix assignments or blah, 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 do some reporting. I will love being able to do that from just my house. That's great.
Yeah, that'll be nice. That'll be nice.
Terrific.
Jeff.
Terrific stuff. We're blessed.
Let's see. A quick one. Garrett G, who is a man I have had subpar interactions with.
That is the best way to describe not liking somebody. A man I've had subpar interactions with.
He's your quintessential Provo man. He and a couple of buddies built Scan, which sold recently to Snapchat for $54 million. So
now, Al, let's explain how
Mormon entrepreneur made $54 million swindling QR codes. Somebody wanted QR codes, and he gave them to them. Bravo!
Are QR codes worth $50 million?
QR codes are not worth looking at, let alone money. But he figured out a way to make money on him. So good work.
I love that he appeared on Shark Tank.
He should. Well, he went on Shark Tank, asked for $1 million for like 5% of his company, and they all said no. And he's like, well, I guess it's not going to work out. See ya. It was just a PR play. That's all it was.
That's what plenty of people do on Shark Tank, I think. I just feel like there are a number of scanning apps that I've seen. I don't know what made this one worth the money or the time. Or at this day and age when no one cares about QR codes anymore. They barely did before.
No one, if I may, no one ever cared about a QR code. They're worthless. And sometimes, Jeff, it's all in how you position it.
Not entirely worthless. I did once use them for flyers when I did the ward retreat in my single.
Yeah, group. How many people clicked on them?
It was okay. I saw people scanned it so they could sign up on their phones rather than have to type
literally
in.
Literally, how many?
There are dozens of us.
Tens of you?
Yeah, sure. Tens of them. That's okay. Whatever it takes to get people on there. But I agree with you. QR codes never fully became a thing.
There's another stupid one on is Mormon dating broken? I saw this on LDS Living and also on Mormon Buzz, some weird attempt at satire site.
No, Mormon Buzz is like trying to be real. Beautifully made site, too.
They say Mormon dating is broken, and it would be fixed if you understood the 5 steps of dating: hanging out, dating, courtship, engagement, and marriage. The most committed of them. It's a stupid article. I honestly feel like any article attempting to explain why dating is broken or great or bad or whatever, written by some random married editor. Not gonna hit home. Well, don't try.
And thankfully, some of the comments say the same thing. Because, like, the bottom line is dating just kind of happens. Like, I think we stress out so much about creating programs and things.
Once it works, you're like, oh, no, that was the problem. Of course. I just need to do that. And it's like, no, that worked for you. It doesn't work. That's not the
yeah. And it, but work. From a thesis standpoint, this article makes no sense because it's called "Is Mormon Dating Broken?" And then it's more just a step by step process on how to get married.
It's called clickbait. Don't endorse it.
I have endorsed it on this show only to encourage all of you to go and troll their comments.
Gosh dang it, Jeff!
What we told you? We're already talking about it.
All right. That's on me. That's on me.
And I will give them credit for this. Decently made website. Why doesn't our website look like this?
Don't give them credit. Well, it's because you put crap banner ads.
Yeah, that's what makes our website not look perfect. Was a single banner ad. It has nothing to do with all the functionality.
It was, Jeff, it was clearly out of alignment, very aesthetically unappealing.
You know nothing about aesthetics. Nothing.
That's fair.
I challenge you to an aesthetic off.
All right. I am removing all aesthetic.
Okay.
Carry on.
Well, there's two more things, Al. Why don't you do the Steak Center one? That way we can leave on a positive note.
Yeah, so somebody shot their pregnant girlfriend in the shoulder at an MTC, or I'm sorry, at a Steak Center. And then there was a full-on cop shootout, Waco style. Not quite Waco style, less than that. Cop was grazed with a bullet and got treated and released. And but who, don't shoot your pregnant girlfriend. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, and
there's man code prohibits this.
That Waco thing was crazy too, man.
Yeah, that is insane.
Well, my last little bit here, nice little story. Temple Square, if you go to the North Visitor Center, the bigger visitor center, they've got three new exhibits that are available to you there. So the first one is called
Be a Dinosaur Exhibit.
I will get there.
Okay.
Because He Lives is a series of artistic photographs depicting the ministry of the Savior, His birth and resurrection, all that stuff. That's basically what that is.
Those are rare photographs, too. You want
to
go
see
those.
They're very hard to obtain. I mean, you have to go 88 miles per hour. You have to have some plutonium.
And yada, yada, yada.
It's hard to make that happen. So, also on the same floor in the southeast corner, there's one called Eight Stories. This basically features a bunch of the missionaries that were from that great little web series.
The District.
The District 2. This has been rolled out in some other visitor centers. We've actually had this in the D.C. Visitor Center for about 2 years, so it's probably been elsewhere because they described it the same way, where it's a big circular room with a bunch of missionary tags. Do you remember a long time ago we talked about how the church was asking missionaries to donate their tags? This is why.
Oh, yeah.
And so they line that, and then it's you take an iPad and just choose the different missionaries, and it basically consists of clips from the mission.
That's super cute.
But it's very cute. But it's very good. I liked the mission or the district. I thought the district was engaging. Actually, it was entertaining. And then the there's a lot big old stretch about that. The third exhibit talks about the Book of Mormon, where there's a table with various translations of the Book of Mormon, or where they once stood. Now there's a new interactive display, following Christ through the Book of Mormon. Also, I've seen this before. This is also at the DC Temple Visitor Center. Apparently, DC gets stuff now before Salt Lake. So good for us. Good for us. That's because I live in a great place. I don't live in Utah or the South. The South. Have you been to the South? The South is the worst place in the world.
It's beautiful.
It's full of terrible people, especially Atlanta, the worst city in America.
No.
Terrible, terrible place. No redeeming features whatsoever.
You sound like Charles Barkley.
Anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon line. No, we'll get Mason-Dixon.
That's a terrible idea.
Anywhere south of Washington, D.C., just the worst. Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
I hold it in the highest disdain. Completely. But beyond that, visit these things. Go see these things at the Visitor Center, folks. They're going to enrich you. It's going to be great. You're going to have a great time.
All right, Jeff. Well, everybody, if you need to reach us, we are always available. If you want to reach us,
need to reach us. Like, call. Are you having problems? You need dating
contact
advice?
Contact at thisweekinmormons.com.
How far apart are the contractions?
Also, go to thisweekinmormons.com and leave comments. Just say things, witticisms, funny moments. Tell us stories about your week. We'll hear them.
Also, I'd like to put a special mention out there. We're recruiting more writers for the site. So if that's anything that interests you and you actually have the skill set to do it, we're not saying you have to be Pulitzer worthy or anything like that, but you know, you can't.
Jeff will edit all of
it. I will edit your stuff, but you can't write like a sixth grader, okay? It's got to be, you know, at least coherent.
That is the problem that Jeff and I have, is I write like a sixth grader and demand that he edits them.
But it's okay. It works out. We have a symbiotic relationship. Anyway, though, but if that does interest you in any way, we're building up the forces. So just shoot us an email, like Al mentioned, and send us some of your work, and we'd be happy to talk to you about that. See what we can do there. That'd be a lot of fun. Love to get more people involved there, and join us on our various social media places, wherever they are. Comment about things on there. Retweet our tweets. Reshare our Instagram posts. Interact with us.
Absolutely.
Make our clout score higher than Al's clout score, because I'm tired of hearing about his clout score.
Jeff, I'm amazing.
Yeah, you're the best ever. It's amazing. Mind-blowing stuff, man. It's crazy.
The clout
score. All right, Al. Anyway. Welcome to New York, Al. It's been waiting for you.
Thank you.
Welcome to New York.
Thank you.
Welcome to New York.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Al. Everybody, have a good time. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to This Week in Mormons. Talk to you again next week. See ya.
Did you hear me? that I've been longing for, just to know you hear me, and to feel you near me. It's all the it's the